In case you don't know who I am, I'm Richard Kerridge. I come along here and Phil threw the ball to me, said, look, I was going to be preaching and I'm going across to England, have to go for my mate's funeral there. So it's wonderful to have that opportunity to share. And I said, so what's the topic? And he said, imagination. It's about, you know, we're on a series, the childlikeness of the believer and how we can be childlike and how there's so much to learn in that. And this particular, the imagination of a child. And so I thought that was fine. I thought I could imagine something to speak about. So I have come up with something. And I hope it'll help you in what I think is a tremendously important part of being a human. And that's our imagination. God is the creator. He's creative. It talks about in that song, the words that he sang. Where did they come from? He spoke the words, but where did the thoughts of the billions of planets and giraffes and hippopotami and where did it come? It was in God's imagination. This immense God. And these thoughts are there, these visions, these images of amazing things, and then he speaks it and it comes into being. And we're created in his image. And so it's really wonderful that we can use this gift of imagination, because sometimes people find their imagination is stomped out and they stop being imaginative and stop being like little children that God wants them to be. So we were born to create. Isn't creation, you see creative people and they create something and it blesses our hearts. And we're equipped with vivid imagination and we were made to be people who live from the inside out. There's something on the inside of us, this imagination, intuition, things on the inside that God has placed there and he wants us to work in that realm, because see, that's the realm of the spirit. That's the realm of the kingdom. And out of that come amazing things. And if you were to be the enemy and you wanted to close down something that looks like God, one of the things you do is get rid of imagination and keep people boxed in and not let them become creative and not let them think. And I think that's what the enemy of our souls has been doing. And of course, the Holy Spirit saying, come on, no, you can imagine great things. You can do amazing things through the gifts and the person that God's created you to be. It's been said that everything that is real and that we now see was born in the imagination. Think about that. Everything that is real and that we can see and touch, it was born in imagination. Somebody's imagination, God's imagination, our imagination. This building, everything was in an architect's imagination. It was in the imagination and it came out and created something. And I think the church should be reflecting this more than any. If we're the people with the Spirit of God dwelling within us, surely we should be the people that are right out there demonstrating that aspect of who God is. But there have been times in history where the church has been exactly the opposite. And if you look at church history, you see both. You see times where the church led the way in music. They led the way in art. They were the ones out there forging ahead. They are the ones who were the scientists discovering things and opening up new ideas. But then when religion started to come in, not God, but religion starts to get in there and suddenly we come in a box, in a rut, and we can't make changes because to make changes would be ungodly. You know, you just look at arts, the arts, science, medicine, theology, humanitarianism, the church has led the way. And then sometimes it drops the ball. And like Collingwood, I'm sorry. So, imagination. Children have a great imagination. one of my daughters was talking about how that imagination, when we're thinking something, that psychologists are saying, some psychologists say, that when we're thinking something, if we're thinking about this thing, it's in our imagination, it's like it's actually happened. People can be traumatized in their thinking when something around them isn't even happening. They're traumatized by what's going on inside, but we all can also can be liberated by what's going on inside. And to release people's gifts and to release the potential of people, I think, is a real God-given responsibility for the church and those in it. Let's look at the scripture, Luke 18, 15 to 17. And this is where Jesus blesses the little children and points to them as examples of receiving the kingdom. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it." Now, when we think of kingdom of God, we need to stop thinking just that one day we entered it, and then we were out of it, then we entered it. Now, I think the kingdom of God is something that we are continually entering into it. And it's like the person who enters in and goes, "Wow, I've entered the kingdom of God." But then they, "Wow, I never realized that." And they continually enter in and see more and more of the king and the kingdom. And so it's not just, I entered the kingdom in 1973. Now, I've been entering the kingdom and there's a lot more kingdom to be entered. And so a little child, and we have one right in our house, a little granddaughter. You might have heard her sort of complaining a bit and was just taken out just then. But it is wonderful to see her imagination as she'll play with things. And I know as she'll grow up, this imagination in children, all these little toys are people. There's monkey and there's doggy and there's woof-woof and they talk to them and they watch us and they're looking to see what the adults do and then they go and do those things and they're learning and as they get older they are inquisitive and they're asking questions and they're trying things and they want to write on furniture and on all types of things. And in fact, our little granddaughter filled in one of the cards while we were here, just one of the prayer cards. I couldn't read exactly what it was saying, but it's always trying things. And what we're discovering, the more that children are able to express themselves, the more well-adjusted they'll be. There was when Romania, which was a communist country, was set free from communism and the dictatorship that was there, they went into these orphanages where children were just kept in these places and weren't allowed to play, and there was no communication taking place, and there was no encouragement or inspiration for them, and no laughter, and no smiles, and these children were all fairly mentally retarded and socially retarded, and there was no place for them to express themselves and to think and imagine and draw outside the lines. And have a go. One of the things I've noticed with our little granddaughter, she loves to dance and she loves to sing. We don't understand what the words are, but she sings. And particularly if it's sort of like a bit rocky, she really likes to sing. And she wants to twirl around because this is the imagination of a child. And I think God loves it when we're like that. You think so? And he sees us get stodgy. You know, and we may be getting stiff in our body, but we don't have to get stiff on the inside. And you know, we became stuck in a rut. And children aren't stuck in ruts. We're the people who can put some ruts, put them in ruts. But they want to express themselves and they want to come up with ideas and they've got secret friends and all these things. And I think the Lord is saying, "Hey, have a look at the children, the little children. I love that. You're my children. You'll always be my children." And I still, at times, get that sense that God's saying to me, you're my little child, you're my little son. You know, I might be growing up in the eyes of some, but in his eyes, I'm just a little kid. Come on. And have you ever, you may not have done this, have you ever sort of, when you're alone and there's nobody about and you just can go for a dance and a praising God in the lounge room and nobody's watching and it doesn't matter, you just do it. And yeah, I can see someone else does. So this is being like a little child. It's extravagant. They're extravagant. They don't worry about the cost. It says in Luke 17, 20 to 21, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst, it's within you. The kingdom of God is not just a destination, some place. It's far beyond that, far beyond that. The kingdom of God is, says in Romans 14, is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And when I'm starting to think of the kingdom is hard to explain. It's joy, it's peace, it's people doing amazing things. The kingdom of God is full of love. It's full of amazing things that we've never seen before. That's the kingdom of God. And yet, it's not heaven. I think sometimes we can think, the kingdom of God is equal to going to a place called heaven where there are these shining buildings and clouds and that type of thing. Way beyond that, the kingdom of God. And I sometimes look at little children and I say, it's like our house has become Eliza's kingdom. She can go anywhere. She can draw anything. It's hers. She's there walking around freely and she's a little child. There's no barriers as far as she's concerned at this stage. They'll come up, I'm sure, as time goes on. So imagine is the word imagine. Albert Einstein said, imagination is everything. It is the preview for life's coming attractions. It's the preview for life's coming attractions. If we didn't imagine it, if we don't imagine it, it's not going to happen. All the great songs, the great art, the great buildings, the great discoveries, the great medical breakthroughs. Someone had a thought. It was in their imagination. I won't go down that track, no. Okay. personal experience. I just want to try to think of how I'll express this. There was a time in my life when I went through a difficult time and things seemed pretty dark and black and sort of on this burnout type thing that many pastors go through. And I discovered this therapy or this book, this Christian book. It was about you can go into your imagination and be really helped. And so what it talked about is there is no place, if it's in your imagination, you can go anywhere. You can go to that island. You can go to the Swiss Alps. If you can get it in your imagination, you can go there. And so the idea was now, what is your idyllic place, the place that you think of as the most peaceful, the most innovating, just the most wonderful, helpful place? And I immediately had a picture in my mind of this sort of, and there's a little river coming down and you got your log cabin and it's out there and there's mountains. And so I've got this place. And so he says, you can go there and this is a good place to go because if you look around you, things don't seem so good. There's fights going on, there's things happening. No, go to the secret place and go there. And then when you're there, and he says, you can spend time looking around. You can, if you want more flowers over here, put them there. Just make it your place to go. And he said, then what you do is there'll be a track leading into it. And then what I want you to see is Jesus coming in. And Jesus is now coming into your place because it's his place. And he loves to be in your place. He loves to be where you are. And so he comes in and he hangs out with us. And so we just hang out with him in the secret place. And he may speak to us, we may speak to him. But what we've suddenly done is we've come into an environment where we're far freer to hear. And then he says, now there are some things in your life that are really difficult, that it's hard to let go. And the person who was saying that in this wonderful place you go in your imagination, there's a little hut on it. It's Jesus' hut. And this is the one place in the whole of the place you've imagined you can't go. It's the Jesus' hut. And he says, because if you, all the things that you can't handle, the things that are too difficult for you, the really big challenges, you give them to me and I put them in the hut, and you're not allowed to go in there and get them out. You've got to leave them with me. And then when they come up again, that difficult situation, that trauma you went through, now you've given that to him, and you have to go back and imagine that he's taken it. And he's dealing with that. And you go, and I just want to have another look at, and you go down there again. No, not allowed. I'm dealing with it. And when it's fixed, because it's like it's a little hut where he fixes things, then when he's in his time, he fixes it and gives it back, and it's all okay. Now, I found this really helpful. It's a type of therapy, and I've since found there is imagination therapy is an actual thing you can do. Where both Christian and secular counselors are using imagination therapy to help people. Now, that only makes sense because God's given us this amazing imagination, and we need to be willing to use it. Hope this is making sense. When I started to think about speaking about imagination, immediately a verse comes to mind. Have you ever have the verse that seems to be the contrary verse? I had it all right, and then suddenly this verse, how am I going to fix this one? Because it then says here in 2 Corinthians 10, 5 to 7, casting down your imaginations. Oh dear, I've just been talking about having imaginations, and here it's going to be casting down imaginations. What am I supposed to do? Cast them down or not, or exalt them? Come up in, get involved in them. But then it's casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So it's not just all imaginations. You bring your imaginations, you bring your thoughts to him. And then you place it before him, the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you'll find that when you do that, the negative, hollow, vain imaginations will be easily sorted out from the really beautiful imaginations. And so imagination can go on a really wonderful track, or it can go on a really terrible track. And some people are caught in their dark imagination. And that's no good. So we bring our imaginations, we think, we bring these thoughts to God and he'll help us. Now, there's something called guidelines in this. We have guidelines to imagination, but there are also walls when it comes to imagination. A guideline is to help. A guideline helps us. And so we're starting to imagine something, and is it a guideline or is it a wall? Walls stop us dead. Walls cut out the view. Walls cause us to become defensive. But what happens when it's a guideline? It's something you can actually cross over and you don't get slammed. It's actually, it's just a guideline. And God gives us so many guidelines. So many ways to check how our imagination is faring. And how do we check it? Check by the fruit of the Spirit. Are your imaginations, because people can come and say, oh, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful of certain things. You've ever had that as a Christian? Oh, you shouldn't go into meditation. You've got to be careful. You can't go into therapy because you've got to be careful. It's not very Christian. And all the things that may be dangerous because of a word, and people aren't willing to go in, or psychology. And there's all the certain words I've heard over my years as a Christian that you've got to be really careful of. And I'm so glad that I don't have to be worried about that any longer. Because does it have love, joy? If you look at them, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there's no such law. So is the result of what I'm doing, are these the fruit of my thinking? Is this the result of the therapy? And if we find that it's being helpful and loving, and I feel joyful and I feel peace and I feel have self-control, and I'm feeling more gentle and kind, something good's happening. And people that allow their imagination to blossom in a good way are always going to be more healthy. Characteristics of love, if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So be free in your artistic, in whatever area of life you have. Imagine what can happen. And if you make a mistake, it doesn't matter. Just get back on and move on. I remember a time in my life as a fairly new Christian, and I was just starting to get asked to speak at some meetings, and I was hearing about gifts of the Spirit and words of knowledge. Anybody heard of these? The words of knowledge, prophecies, things. Now, all this, and I'm thinking, I got no idea how all this works. But people were there, and they were saying, well, you know, we need a word. We need a word. We need a word. A word will be, and a word from God will help our faith. I think, where do they come from? And I discovered that it comes from your imagination. And some people call it a sanctified imagination. It's like it's your imagination. It's what's your inward thinking. It's the thoughts that are going on in the inside. I somehow thought it was somehow more miraculous or more magic or something, and that God would speak in an audible voice, or I would see a picture come in front of my eyes that would be like a picture, like a portrait. No, I was getting thoughts. I was getting imaginations. Ideas were coming to my inside, as they have all my life, about different things. But now it was becoming more specific. And I was saying, righto, I'm coming to this meeting and people are here and they want to, some of them are sick, some of them are suffering from all types of things. And I've come and they've been praying, bring the man of God, that he'll bring a word from God. And I found it was when I realized it was okay to go into my imagination, to go into these thoughts, these inner thoughts, and to be just words might float on by, or a vision in a very just ordinary way will be there. And it took me a long, long time to realize that these things were actually godly, and that I could check them out to see if they were godly as well by the things I've just mentioned. So I remember I went this thing and I was praying, oh God, give me something. And in the end, I said, righto. And I suddenly had this inward picture of a kitchen and a lady there walking in this kitchen. I could see what it looked like. And I was like, this is amazing. And then kept on going. And then I could see her standing over the sink and saying, I don't want to live in this life any longer. I want to kill myself. And unless I hear that you love me and that you're for me, this is, I, 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 it's done. I'm finished. So I got up and with my heart and said this. And after the service, a lady came and she said, that was me. That was me. I'm that person. We talked about it and I go, wow, where did that come from? It was in my imagination. But it was God. God had planted it there. Because God uses the inward parts. And we start to learn to be sensitive in that area. And it was, I think it was a similar, one of the, a meeting at that time, I thought of thinking, this is good, let me try another one. So next, I'm praying, Lord, God, is there some way you could want to speak to me that I could speak to your people? And I saw in my inner thinking, just as like, it was like a story came or a little, I don't know how to describe it. Except I suddenly saw this like someone riding a horse over some jumps. And I said, oh, and I sort of noted the age, just a young girl, and that she'd fallen off the horse, and her nose then, and she'd really badly injured her back and was in lots of pain. And so I said, and then the thought came, I'm getting brave now, I'm going, is there any other ideas up there, Lord? And it was something like 14 years ago this happened. And so I sort of shared this and the lady says, oh, that was me. 14 years ago, I had an accident with a horse and I've been in, and because one of the things was it was in constant pain, I've been in constant pain ever since. And then I think, well, I just believe that, you know, if God's shown you this, pray and who knows, God can heal you. And she was healed completely. And 2 years later, I got a letter back saying I am still healed of that complaint. I go, wow. All that was this thing that goes on in the imagination. I think one of the interesting things of as I look at Christian history and look at the things that have taken place, so much happens amongst children. Children have no difficulty believing and imagining amazing things. But after a while, we can start to put fences around and close things and say, well, this is right and this is wrong. And people stop being able to be used by God as much as you'd like them to. Okay. What else? So, finally, brethren, this is in Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's a good word, isn't it? Meditate on these things. And as we meditate on good things, meditate on the parables for Jesus, meditate on the things he did, meditate on the great things we've seen and heard ourselves. We get out there in the area of imagination, you never know what's going to happen. And I've seen amazing things take place. I've also been there when lots of things didn't take place. But if I hadn't had a go, there'd be some people who would still be sick. That girl, maybe her back would have remained in pain for many, many years to come. I don't know. But I believe God wants us to venture out into that realm. And it's for everybody. It's not just for the arties. You know, the artistic, prophetic clan. Some of the great innovative thinking and imagination is taking place in business. I was reading in Harvard Business Review how there are now two schools of thought about the technology. There's the fearful few, and then there's the excited guys over here, and they're saying, because the fearful ones are saying, we're all going to have no jobs, it's going to be taken over by robots, and technology is going to take over, and what are we going to do? It's terrible, and all they can see is a bad future because of technology. But there's a whole lot of other people out there and they're going, no. We can think beyond there, surely. We've come up with these amazing things. There'll be ways. And so they're looking at other ways to gainfully use the experience and the abilities and the talents of the people who are working there. And tremendous things are coming out of that. They're not negative. They're positive. They're optimistic about what they can do. Why? Because they can think something. It's in their imagination. So I just wanted to put a few little thoughts out there for you to think about. And lastly, I thought, well, look, if I'm going to talk about this, I better meditate, I better do it. So I just had a little journal time this morning and wrote something in my journal. And this is what I came up with. My imagination can take me to places both wonderful and terrifying. It can carry me to places good and bad, or where dwells darkness or light. The choice is mine. I can choose the train of thought. That's like a train, but it's a train of thought. I want a board. I can choose when to get off the wrong train and choose to stay on it when it's heading in the right direction. So I encourage you, get on the train of thought. Get on and imagine things. And to do that, you need to sometimes spend some time just getting alone in a place where your thoughts can start to operate. And don't worry. If the train seems to be going down a bad track, just get off. But I think, I know within this room, there is so many amazing things that God wants to do. And some of them seem to be very normal, ordinary things, but it will come to you how to reach people, how to touch people, how to bless people, how to heal people, because we as we become open to the realm of the Spirit, the realm of the kingdom, and imagination is one of the words that we use to sometimes describe what's happening in that realm. Okay? Amen. Let's pray, and we'll move on to the next part of our time together. Father, I just wanted to share my heart about the blessing of moving out into the realm of imagination, the realm of the Spirit, the realm of that which is outside of our natural senses, but such an essential thing in your kingdom and in your creation and in what you want to have happen in your church. And just pray, Lord, that in some way today people have been touched in a way that will take them further along the line of what some might call the miraculous, but in which, and what I could see is just ways to love people in a miraculous way, in a supernatural way, in a way that glorifies you and enables people to know that you are far, far more than enough. Amen.